Yo.
I can hear you, baby.
Woo! I just learned something about my microphone. Does it sound different? I just rolled off the bass.
Oh.
Whatever the hell that means. Might not be piped in, I guess.
It's coffee time.
Hello. It's been a while.
Cheers. Good morning. Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Would you like to start? How are things for are you?
It's the weekend, so I'm in my fully compartmentalized, everything is fine mode.
I know that feeling. Until about Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Sunday. Sunday after midday for me is when I start sliding back into, oh, shit. But it's been a massive week. It's been a tumultuous few weeks with back-to-back COVIDs through the family. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a big week in terms of business stuff.
Don't share anything you don't want to. Skip it and talk about it and cut it out or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. No, it's triggered by Parts Department Book Club reading Profit First twice in a week. And then
holy moly.
There's a bit of that book, which you'll be familiar with, called The Instant Assessment, where you run your numbers through there.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm excited to.
It's frightening. Yeah,
I'm anxious too, actually. Yeah.
It was quite the eye-opening exercise. And it left me, COVID was kind of a blessing in disguise, to be honest, because it forced me to be home for a week. Away from the office, and I, no exaggeration, I'd done 40 plus hours of financial modeling in that time, just deep down the spreadsheet rabbit hole. That Profit First assessment was pretty scary and led me to trying to fix it. So I'm in the process of trying to fix it, and it's going to suck in a lot of ways, but it's either that or roll over and sink the business, to be honest, at this stage. And a big part of our problem is that we've been chasing hypothetical sales targets. Well, very optimistic. And we haven't been doing enough sort of reality check on what's our real average revenue? Truly. We'll have another month of real revenue and we'll be didn't quite get there again this month. Better luck next month. Push on. And we just haven't been adjusting our operating expenses to suit our real revenue. So yeah. Been doing a lot of work in terms of how to course correct. And yeah, I'll tell you more about that off air perhaps, but sure. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Boy, I can super relate. I bet I'm not internalizing it as dire at times, but, cash flow has never been good for us. There's only one person to blame for that. So, I've always had a weird, bittersweet regret of not doing really any business studying in school. It felt, my joking internal monologue was all that stuff you can find on YouTube, I can Google any of those things. I don't need to pay to learn about how to run a business.
And,
I think that was pretty naive of my 20-some-year-old self. But it's what's been so eye-opening in the 60-some pages I've read. What's pretty common about, I feel like these kind of self-helpy books are always they just nail you down so hard in the beginning of the book. How did you know I'm doing all of that? I do check my bank account every day. I basically described it to you last time we talked. Check my bank account, put it in a spreadsheet, and that does nothing for me. And I kind of knew that. It makes me feel like there's some control, but there really isn't. And he describes that, this Mike, I can't say his last name, of Profit First, so well. So, I think he makes it sound optimistic, but I'm still reeling, I think, of not being enough through the book to really take a lot of action other than I did try and start the profit account.
Nice.
But, there's just always been kind of a sense of dire, I don't know how else to describe it, and to be transparent here, just
I know.
You make money and then a lot of it disappears. And it's not we're just sitting here buying machines constantly. They're actually both paid off. So there's a lot of good, but also there's just a lot of missing in the middle part that I don't feel like I had any education for or it just seemed like there was common sense to it, but that this is the first thing I've seen that at least it's different enough that I like the idea that it hides the money from you, basically. And I think that's really powerful for how I work. So I can relate to all of that.
Yeah.
And we're not in a much better position.
So for a bit of context to our dear listeners, the one sentence version of what the premise of the book is basically, instead of running your business on revenue minus expenses equals profit, it's basically flipping that and saying revenue minus profit first equals what's left to run the business. So you take your non-negotiable profit, and it doesn't have to be much, but at least it's something. And then with whatever's left in the bucket, that you have to make your business work for that. And
And the profit in specific, which has always been, I think it's always confusing to describe, is there's like, he talks about it's like accounting profit, where he was making millions of dollars and his accountant's like, you made $15,000 of profit. And he's like, where's that money? And the accountant's like, well, it's on the paper here. You know, like, but, and I have that exact feeling where it's like, you know, you make X amount of dollars and then by the end of a month or a year, you're like, well, definitely don't have those numbers in my bank account. Where did it go? And so I think his whole thing is flipping that, or it's like you give a percentage that you just set aside from the beginning every time you make money, twice a month, I think his suggestion is, to just, I'm at this place where I don't know enough about it that I'm like, I know you set it aside, I don't know what happens after that.
You'll get profit. To that later. I had a chat to my accountant this week, called a meeting with her, because I was like, there's some funny numbers in our books, which I don't really understand what they're doing. And I know they're your sort of end of year adjustments. And I just want to have a chat about like what they are, what they mean, because they're messing with my head. And so we sat down.
It's a gaslighting.
And it's, you know, she's always done these numbers, but previously they've kind of been in the background at tax time. And they're like, they're the stock take numbers. They're like our opening and closing balances of like how much raw stock, how much finished stock we're holding. So there's these huge like negative numbers at the end of financial year and then positive numbers at the start of the new financial year. And when I was just deleting them, because I'm like, this is not real money. This is just like accounting speak. Like,
No, I know what you mean. And I like that you're deleting them, though.
Well, when I was doing my financial modeling, I was like, this has no... Yes, it's like, it's real in a sense, because it's, you know, it's real plywood out on the shelf there that's held up, holding up cash, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect my ability to pay bills. Like, I can't pay bills with these, like, so-called assets. I can't pay payroll with plywood. So I deleted them all from my calculations. And when I spoke to her, she was like, yeah, that's the right thing to do. Like, in terms of what you're trying to do in this modeling, just kill them off, the positive and the negative, kind of write them off.
Right.
And when I deleted those funny numbers out of our P&L, it made things look pretty crap. Like, it's like, oh, okay, okie dokie dokie. That's like kind of lifting the cover off that can of worms, right? Better fix that. Anyway, I've asked her to just take them out of our P&L completely so they're not messing with my head.
Sure.
But, yeah. But one really positive thing that's come out of all of this work that I've done in the last week has been, you know, I started this business coaching program with Sarah and we did it together the whole time. And she's so good at financial stuff that I kind of just delegated / abdicated a bunch of stuff to her because she's better at it. And the last week has kind of forced me to like suddenly get really good at driving this 52-week cash flow forecast that we've got, and like had a real deep dive into it. And like, I feel stupid saying this like 2 years later, but it's like, it's such a bloody powerful thing. But here we are.
All right. Yeah.
Now I can drive it and I know it intimately. And it's a fantastic tool, and I'll definitely be using it heavily moving forward. But yeah.
My biggest problem of that exact, I have the same. I mean, you have, I wish I could say I had people to delegate it to and for that to have been a part of it. But my accounting is always, I used to be really good at it and keeping up with it. But yeah, my zero accounting is like, there's just numbers. The account balances don't make any sense. even though there's not that many things unreconciled, because nobody actually looks at it. My old accountant used to help a little bit, but nobody's really writing it. And then a lot of it's just delayed. Like, I think last year, it was like months and months delayed. So like nothing was really that accurate. So my mentor was helping to push me towards like, well, you got to keep it closer to accurate so you can see these numbers.
You mean which you're kind of behind in terms of reconciling?
Reconciling, and, like,
and
right.
Stuff. Yeah.
Some of that has to do with the bank that I'm using doesn't automatically sync in. And that was the other big thing. I don't know if this is available that I've kind of immediately been like, oh my God, I love this idea. I've always just used one big account for all the money to set in, right?
Like same.
Have other accounts for COVID times and all that stuff where we had different things we had to track, but it was just easier. Literally a lazy thing of like, well, it's all in one place, I don't have to worry about overdrafts, all that crap.
Yeah.
But this Mike Mikhailova, I don't know how to say his last name.
He,
on his website, he's got a link to this other, I'm not gonna be able to find it. But it's called Relay, and it's like some financial service tool, which sounds
not available
nefarious for the other Americans, I guess, if that's what it's available to. What he wants you to do in the book is split your, every time you get money, it goes into an income account. Then twice a month, you're supposed to manually go split that into four other accounts based on profit, like we were talking about. You take that out, owner's draw, operating expenses, taxes, and something else, I forget. And there's certain percentages. That all seems overwhelming to me to like deal with all the time and to reconcile in our accounting. I was like, well, that's stupid. How can I get around it? But I really understand why it's there. It's to take it away from your thinking to deal with. And I know you can take or leave any of these ideas, but for me, that ability, just like you would take out like a 401k or taxes here, retirement accounts before you ever get it, you don't ever miss it, right? It's just gone. That's how it works here anyway. Like you take it out before it gets in your paycheck. If you have like a W-2 or like a normal job, I guess, and you're not a business owner. So like we don't have any of that as entrepreneurs, really. Like nothing, unless you set it up for yourself, you have to deal with all those aspects. And you know, this is, I always joke, I never pick my own pizza toppings at restaurants because I suck at it. I'm not a chef. I don't know how to make good combinations of food. I'm also not a banker. And I don't know why I've always just been like, well, I can handle all my own money idea. It's just, it's funny. We're both hitting these problems, I guess, at the same time and finding some solace in this, but this tool Relay something is connected to a bank. And it basically, every time you get money into one account, it automatically transfers it to the other ones for you based on percentages you set up. It also works with QuickBooks and Xero instantly or like very well. So I'm thinking like, this is a big change, but if I don't have to think about it and it works, then I can do the business part, make money, all these things. And then hopefully there's just money there at the end of the day. You know, obviously there's more thinking to it, but like, to start with, that seems like a huge step from where I'm at with the one stupid checking account that is always low, you know?
Yeah, that sounds cool. And it sounds super convenient. I wonder what the payoff is in terms of getting into a rhythm of doing it manually twice a month, as he suggests.
Right.
Because I don't know yet, but I imagine that would help you start to read patterns of like, oh, month three, I still don't have enough in my OPEX account this month. Like, I haven't hit my target in my OPEX account. What does that mean? Like, and question that of being like, cool, what else can I cut out of OPEX? Or how can I fix that if this is a reoccurring thing? Where if it's all automatically happening for you in the background, maybe you'd still see it. Maybe you'd still go to pay your bills and be like, no, I don't have enough. But I don't know.
Yeah,
sounds cool, but I did look at that and I was like, it's not available here. But all of our Xero bank feed stuff works really well.
Yeah,
here, like it's all auto fed.
It should, and I only have one, like it's a me problem. But I think it is not that uncommon that some of that stuff. It's like, I basically have to export, you know, so the transactions and import them manually, and so I do it like once a month. But all told, it's like, I guess you can probably relate. Or many listening, right? Like, I don't feel like I have a lot of extra bandwidth. I'm not keeping up with it now to then split money into five accounts if I want to do that. So, like, it does look like there's some pretty good like graphical details to this like relay service. It's free because obviously they're just using our money for interest and other things.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm kind of fine with that because I'm not making interest anyway. Like, I'm not making a bunch of money. If I get to the place where I have 5-6 digits just sitting around, then we'll figure that out. You know, it's not a problem I have right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so far I would highly recommend the book. It's been helpful. You said you read it twice already. Dang,
I just finished it and I was like, I need to read this again. Jump straight back in.
I could see that,
because I was like, I was spending my days just like building these spreadsheets of working out all my like percentages of what we're doing now and what we need to be doing to ensure profit and blah blah blah. Yeah, so yeah, that's where my brain has been squarely at for the last week or so.
So I know maybe this is all too fresh for both of us, but I am curious, without having read through the whole book, obviously, do you feel like there's a lot that you've gained into how you would change things? Like, obviously, I think a big portion of this is like controlling your expenses and being aware of all that stuff, but also like the instant, what was it called? Instant analysis?
Instant assessment. Yeah.
Right. Is that something you're just doing all the time then, so that you can keep the numbers positive? I don't know.
moving forward.
Right. Yeah. Moving forward idea.
Good question. So I've worked out what our current percentages are and they're scary. And I've modeled, done all this modeling towards like, what's the next version? What's the target percentages moving forward? Right. So the next step for me really is to make those changes and put the accounts in, set up the accounts. Okay. I've got a total of eight accounts I'm going to set up.
Buddy, yeah.
And then just, try working the system and just see how it goes and monitor it as we go. And I'm really looking forward to having a crack at it and just seeing what happens.
So what does Sarah think about all of this?
She's supportive. She's looked at my numbers. I check out to her, and I've been a bit self-conscious last week of like, is this just Jam, fucking classic Jam, jumping on the latest shiny object obsession? Like,
I know that feeling too.
You know, going down a rabbit hole just because he's read some book. And I did have a sort of level of like self-consciousness around that, and I expressed that to Sarah, and I expressed that to my business coach. I had a few long chats with this week, and he's reviewed my numbers, and they check out to him as well. So that was kind of reassuring. It's like, cool, so a professional who does this with lots of businesses has looked at it, and he's right. Like, yeah, check that, tweak this, but that looks pretty good. So that was reassuring.
Yeah. Right. So this is now a financial podcast.
I've just been at home, like in the fernery. Laura's been at work. Kids have been in school or childcare, and I was just like sitting. I bought one of those stupid bogan like Nerf guns for shooting flies. Have you seen those? Shoot no. salt.
I'm still like catching up on your last Australianism, the fernery, which I want. I don't know what this other thing is.
It's like a Nerf gun that shoots salt. Like, it's a shotgun. And we've got flies, a lot of flies at home at the moment. So I was just sitting there with my laptop doing financial modeling and just like popping off flies. That was my week.
Well, you have a fernery also. I want this. This is a dream. It reminds me of
your fernery.
Kind of like a
fernery. Yeah.
Like a day room, I guess, or like a all seasons room, or maybe even just like is it connected to your house?
Yeah.
Cool. There's plants in a glassish or plastic ceilinged room in the photo.
That's right. That's it. And there's guinea pigs in there too now. They keep me company.
This keeps getting more interesting.
You're going to start designing guinea pig furniture. That's the next iteration.
Dude, that and cat. I've said this. You got to get some cat accessories for your kit of parts.
Just, you know what?
Cardboard, sell it.
I think they're a Canadian company. I found pretty much I'm not going to say ripoff, but like a system that works in a very similar way to Kitterparts that is basically just for cats. It's cat furniture.
right?
Modular, like shelves and dowels and like.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. It's a cat furniture. Cat things sell, as far as I understand.
They seem to.
There's your new business plan.
One of our greatest hits in our quoting register in the last 10 years was someone who sent us a quote request for a AstroTurf. Do you know what AstroTurf is?
Mm-hmm.
Like plastic grass.
Right, right.
AstroTurf crucifix for their cat. So I was like,
we've had a lot of cats. We had, I think, one of our top weird quotes related to pets was somebody wanted a custom-made urinal for their dog, basically. It was like plastic cut grid slots. And yeah, all I could think was like, you want to spend like $1,000+ on making this little piece of plastic with a bunch of slots and holes so your dog can pee in it? Like, there's got to be a thing out there that's like $19 for this already. And we ended up not doing it because, you know, I think finally got the idea of like, this isn't too sensible.
So what's happening? You know what?
I can change.
You've caught up.
Yeah. Caught up on Alfred, Bertha, and Claude have finally caught us up. Those are our printers. Have finally caught us up. And I would say without overproducing, we're in a pretty good spot. I've had some orders the last couple of days that, you know, they kind of come in batches, I feel like always. But yeah, we finally got all the tool tags caught up, stocked, and lots of tool tag towers, dust boots are caught up. We've been working on a new version of the dust boot lower brush that's a little more focused. A couple versions, actually. But it was kind of a daunting task because of the way it got modeled over time. So many different changes. Like the sketches and stuff were just like, it was such a disaster to edit. But ended up getting it pretty well resolved. And we've been testing one out and we like it quite a bit. So probably send that to a couple people for testing, and then we have another version coming, just kind of more conceptual at this point, but I think it shouldn't be too hard to come up with. It's kind of a different thing that really isn't out there right now. So they're all accessories for the original boot, which is cool. You don't need a new assembly, which is nice.
Do you do that thing where you like have a sense that like changing the model is going to be hard, and so you just don't do it or don't go there?
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I've had it sketched on whiteboards and notebooks for 8 months probably. And yeah, and part of it was, you know, just like, I told Ricky, we were talking about this, I feel a little bit like I feel novice again in a weird way of like, part of how I conceptualize designing things is it happens in my brain pretty, I know people have all different versions of this, but I have to kind of visualize it. Like, I'm not that good at drawing. Fusion doesn't give me enough tools. So I have to kind of like imagine how it's going to go. And I've had such a hard time with the second option I was talking about in the way that it's constructed and like what it's constructed of, that I feel like I'm back in like early design school when I didn't have any skills to do any of it. I was just like, I have ideas, but I can't do anything with it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. That was a blocker. It shouldn't have been. I finally just sat down, spent like a couple hours, and it was slow and tedious and messy, but doing that thing where it feels like you're looking through like x-rays of all the old sketches and like stuff on top of each other. I need that line and this line.
It's kind of like you need the flight time, like getting on a plane.
Right.
Model, and you just got like 2 hours to fiddle.
Right.
And nothing else to do.
I did get my tires rotated on one of our cars recently, and I only brought my sketchbook, and I was very proud of myself for that's well part done. Of where that started, because I usually just like bring a laptop and then like end up checking email and looking at Shopify and doing nothing productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's kind of, I just finished up all our jobs that we had kind of backlogged, so that was nice.
What's happening with the tool holder? Because on your Instagram, they're kind of not really present.
Yeah, haven't.
Yeah.
They've been doing a lot better. So, I've been noting that it's taken a while to kind of get off the ground. But I've thought about this a lot when I had GPT analyze like our product data. I talked about it here, where it kind of gave me the suggestion that new products would take 2 to 4 months, I think is what it was suggesting, to really start to sell. And it's kind of been that. And now
yeah, right.
I think it also connects to like people's beginning of the year, I need to change something idea. Mm-hmm. I need to organize these tool holders, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they've been selling quite a bit better, and we're working on actually making a second run of them. So doing a lot better. I have the Cat 40, which should also cross over with HSK63 size tool holders. We've got a prototype, and I just need to like finish the inserts, which might be different for each of those. But yeah, they're happening, and we've kind of nailed the packaging for them. Dylan posted a nice photo of a video of receiving some he just bought, and was happy about the packaging, which was nice to see.
Protium.
Yep. Dylan Jackson.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, nice.
Protium Machining. He's just moved into his new shop with his new C250 Hermla. That's exciting to watch.
Very cool. Yeah, he seems to be going well.
Right.
Hope you're listening, Dylan. I just do that thing when I'm typing and talking at the same time. I just, it's the shit that comes out of my fingers is just so random and wrong. Yeah. Words.
Right. Words. We'll cut this out.
So Dylan's podcast is Within Tolerance.
Yes.
Which I would recommend. Some excellent interviews with machinists and makers. I listened to a really good one recently. I can't remember who it was. I'll have to find it. Dig up the link.
Most of them are, pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I was talking to him about that one of these things on here about I've been mentally processing the idea of how slitting saws work in a mill. I've never had one. I love the idea of it. I think the thing I still can't get over is I want to use it to part off parts so you don't have to do a second setup often, which is like a huge amount of work saved for like making a soft jaw or like some other. That second side fixturing is so much more hard in a mill, for me anyway, to set up and get dialed in. So the slitting saw, as I'm imagining, will help me just cut the part off. But I can't figure out, almost all the videos I've ever seen, the part just goes flying. And I don't understand what you do. I can't find videos on this. So like, if you have one of these and you know how to do this well, I'd love some tips. But I think at some point Dylan's helping me figure out which one to buy. But it kind of goes hand in hand with this year. My goal is to cut some steel on the mill, which I never have, which is just probably hilarious. But aluminum and brass are so easy, and all our tooling is kind of set up for that I have some product ideas that just cannot be made in softer materials. So got to figure that out. So that's on my list of things to figure out this year, which it's not a lot. Yeah. I know it's feeds and speeds and new tools, but feels daunting.
Feels daunting coming from router land.
Right.
It's a big no-no, but also I kind of almost had forgotten that because you had a mill, you had that capability. That's what they're designed to do. Cut steel.
Isn't that crazy? I see other people doing it, and I'm like, wow, how are you? I feel like my my child, like, why? Goes all the time, wow. It's like, how are you doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
A few times on our router.
Really?
The sound was not... Not a good sound.
That was terrible. Right.
Yeah. The resonance through the gantry.
Right. There's a bunch of hurdles to it. Like, I think I need new tooling. You know, the aluminum tooling is going to get destroyed or cut poorly, and we're not using it. When we use it for products, I want it to be ideal, right?
No. Pro tip. Take it from me. All my experience machining steel on our CNC router. What you do is you take your oldest, bluntest compression cutter that you've been cutting plywood with for like 6 months.
Compression cutter.
Because it's got that beautiful little upcut section on the bottom there. And it's really blunt already. So the edges are rounded over. It's basically a steel tool ready to go.
Oh boy.
And you just go for it. Yeah. Just go for it.
That's good. Yeah. It's a good plan. That way I can just, compression cutter. It's amazing. Oh boy. Did you also like conventional cut it?
Totally did. Yeah. I did like 3 mil depth of cut and just went for it. Like, cool. Right. What's that? 1/8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. So tooling, the feeds and speeds is easy. I don't own any steel tools, but changing material back and forth is a bit of a nightmare on the mill at the moment. Like, all of the baskets and filters in the back are like made like they're kids' toys, and that the filters are, everything is way too rough and it catches really bad in the baskets. Not really. Where the chips yeah. catch.
Okay.
So it's a huge, I think it's never simple, but it's not good. So we've been looking into potential upgrades to change some of that stuff out too, because it shouldn't be that hard. It should be a lot easier, even if you don't have a conveyor or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that, and yeah, a lot of little stuff, but it's on my list to get into. Yeah.
Like, my only experience with slitting saws is when I set up that first rig on Cameron, where I'd put the lathe chuck into the bed, and when mm-hmm. I was making the kit of parts, bolts and feet, like, I made my own slitting saw just out of a mild steel arbor on the lathe, and it would come in and part off the component, and like, the RPM was so low, like, it was only doing 3000 RPM or something, and the part would just kind of tumble off the top of the blade and fall away. But, you know, it's timber, I'm not trying to get like good surface right. finishes or anything. I don't know right. how you deal with that. That's why you need the UR arm that just comes in and just like holds,
beep, right,
holds the part as it gets parted off.
I mean, the obvious main problem with routers doing steel work is like, the RPMs have to be so low, and the torque band of like our ES91 whatever is like, the top torque is 18,000 RPMs or 16,000. So it's like,
yeah, exactly.
You can't cut steel like that. Just destroy your tools.
Or stall your spindle.
Dry as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Is your one spindle still trucking along? The one that's got the...
Yeah, after I stalled it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's still going. Yeah. That's when I plunged a 50 mil face mill into aluminium.
It'll do that. Yeah. I've got a little...
What's new in Software Corner?
Oh,
that
nice.
Was deafening for me.
That was perfect for me.
Oh, I'm sorry to myself. I've been using this email client called Spark. It's not. It's one of the more popular ones, but I tried paying for it to see what the features were. There's some AI write text for you situation, and it was bad. It was not good. They can also like summarize an email thread with it, which was a little more helpful, but also I just found I didn't need to pay for any of those features. So the good news is it's free. It's iOS, probably Android, Windows, Mac, all the things. It's just clean in general. And
what does it solve?
What in the world? I just got an email from the city of Keene. I'm sorry. Very confused. What does it solve for me? So I used to use this thing called Polymail all the time, which was kind of another version. And you can have multiple of your email. Like, I have personal three different work emails, and they kind of all, I don't want to have a browser open with all that stuff. So it can do email templates. If you write the same thing all the time, which I know Gmail can do, you can see all your emails in the same spot. You can do snoozing. You can, let's see. The other thing I really like about it is, what's the thing I really like? Oh, the thing is, I haven't tried yet, but you can delegate emails to people, and you can also link to them, which is kind of cool. So like, you can put them in, I'll put a link to the quote, which you can do in Gmail too, I'm sure. I don't know. It's just been, I've never been use the email app on the phone. I just never liked it, or stock Gmail. Just always, it doesn't really work for me. So I've enjoyed it. I don't know. It's nice.
No. Cool. Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah, I've got a client who uses it, and he speaks pretty highly of it in terms of being able to delegate emails to staff, and also be able to chat with a staff member about a email thread.
Right.
And just be like, blah, 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 and like chat in the background, and that's kind of linked to that conversation, but it's not, obviously not client facing.
We do that in Freshdesk too, right? Yeah. I mean, it's visually nice. It's a nice aesthetic. It's got a dark mode and
cool.
Yeah, I was paying for the Polymail thing, and it just kind of, I don't know, at some point, I just wasn't my thing anymore. So new shiny tool, but I've been using it for quite a while.
Kind of
turned into my thing.
Yeah, I went in terms of my software corners that I've cut a lot of it. I went through our OPEX expenses the other day.
What went
pretty pretty hard. A lot of subscriptions. Yeah. I think I pulled...
Got rid of the eels.
I think I pulled about 10 grand out of our subscription spend. Annual subscription spend. Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn.
That's good.
That's not immediate. So, that's the annoying thing. It's like Fusion, right. And those licenses of Fusion aren't renewable until like August or something. So it's like we won't see the change immediately, but yeah, moving forward.
Yeah, I kind of did some of that. I think the one notable one I still need to do is I've been moving, I won't even say actively. It's been inactive since about I had a baby, but I've been trying to move our Portland CNC Squarespace all over to the Shopify. So I took it off an annual plan when it renewed last fall. And of course, now I've been paying about double monthly, thinking, oh, I'll get this done. So I probably paid the same amount of money already, but I just have to like move. The blogs are the worst. The blog posts, all the imagery and stuff didn't move over. Oh, that was kind of interesting. I used one day, I was like, well, the last few things I need to do with this are some of these pages I just have to recreate, which isn't that hard. But the blog, there's like over 100 blog posts and none of the images moved. And like I was having an employee work on that at one point and they're not here anymore. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what they got accomplished. And so I had GPT create a script for, I was trying to have it do it itself, but it won't really browse in this way. Yeah. So it created for me a Python script I ran on my computer that scraped my own website, looked through all of the code that was like on each page. I think it was mostly from like an XML file, which I don't fully understand. And then it turned it into a spreadsheet for me with if there's Squarespace linked images or not still on each blog post. So there's like 30 some to do out of 100 plus. And I know which ones to do now. And I was like, damn, that's like, it would have taken me so much time. I probably spent a half an hour messing around with this, mostly out of curiosity. Probably could have done 15 of them, but working on working.
Yeah. That's cool. I love that stuff. I wonder how much time you and I would save if we just tried to get the job done instead of trying to build the tools to get the job done.
I used to be really bad about that. And I feel like I have curbed a lot of it. It's like maybe 85% of it. But I still, part of it's, I give myself the leeway in that I enjoy it and I feel like I'm learning stuff in that way.
Absolutely.
Instead of, I used to spend
fulfilling.
Fucking hours making text expander snippets before GPT. I have to like search through the whole internet so that I could like move to Chrome windows open to two different things on my computer, and then it would just break when they would update it, and I'd be like, oh, good, that was good use of time.
I'm the same. It's like there's instances of that where it's like I enjoy this. It's I find this creatively fulfilling and rewarding to faff around and make this script or write this to do or whatever it is, like build the system. It's like if I'm so like busy that I don't have time to slow down and faff around with this what I consider fun thing for a while, then kind of what's the point?
Right. I think that's another thing of the Profit First that's kind of been hitting me, and he describes of himself, it's like I don't know that we're supposed to sit here and like enjoy every day of owning a business. That's not really like, it would be nice, but I think it's unrealistic. But there's definitely gotten to this place where I'm like trying to figure out how to pay for a new child and like keep the business going. And my time is dwindled because of those things. And I'm just like progressively more stressed. So it's like, it kind of hit at the perfect time of, I think you mentioning it. And I was just like, oh yeah, I could reconsider all these things and change 10 to 12 years worth of habits. Hopefully we'll see. I don't know how this is going to go. We are, last fall I kind of had the idea, I guess, how do I say this? I think a lot of companies do something like a big sale, you know, that sell products or sell services. And another thing I just never had planned in advance, but I was like, we need to do this next year. I want to have like one event where we have a decent amount of discount. The most discount will happen a year. And I guess I'll just tell you the reason for it was I was really frustrated with the idea this year of Black Friday, the last year.
Yep.
I've always have been. So I decided we're not doing Black Friday this year, 2024, nice. Because you're just competing with every other damn business trying to send emails. Everybody's just completely inundated. You're vying for the same amount of dollars in that little segment. So we're going to do our own sale, and I'm going to say we're not doing, this is the only sale we're doing this year. Like, that's it, yeah. in a significant sense. So I've been trying to, like, I've been playing with GPT on this too. Nothing's really come up that's any good, but, like, I can't necessarily think of a good name for it. The annual sale, like, what is it cheesy? Is it, I don't have anything good. You got any good names?
I don't think it matters.
No, I know it doesn't. It's mostly for fun.
I know. Timing might matter. Like,
right.
Like you said at the start of the recording, like, start of the year, people planning, doing that kind of organizational mindset stuff. It'd be interesting to think about, like, when you do this, absolutely. But I think if you make it clear that it is the only one you're going to do,
right,
that seems like a big aspect of it. And then, yeah, getting the timing right and just, yeah, keeping the comms up to build that. Yeah, I'm always a bit torn about this. Like, how far ahead of a sale do you let people know? Like, does that mean they're going right. to hold off on buying anything?
Right.
And you're gonna see, like, a bit of a stalling in terms of sales in the lead up to it, as opposed to just dropping it out of nowhere. I don't know.
Dropping
the
it out of nowhere, just, but, like, in our market, it's gonna, you know, it's a whole new damn thing. But in business sales so far that I've seen in the last almost 2 years, nobody responds to spur of the moment sales. It just cool. doesn't work. So I think I do have to give it a little bit of promotion ahead of time. And my thought as of right now is maybe May for the sale. Nice. And
what about,
it's kind of leading into the summer.
Who like know about your product and thought about it and are like in the sort of educated but not ready to buy category, and then are triggered by the, like, oh, that's my chance right. to get those tool holders.
I guess what I think about, I agree. I totally agree. Struggled so far in my marketing capabilities is getting in, like, with the way all the social media works and even, like, email stuff. It's just so hard to hit people with that one timely period totally. When it's actually happening yeah, that yeah. I feel like I've got to give it some for promotion. But I think it's true. I think it'll work. I guess this is my first notice of it, that it's coming.
Yeah, nice. Heard it here first.
And, yeah. So I don't know. It's not totally figured out, or I don't know if we'll have new products on there or not yet, but that we're kind of nearly coming out with. So,
cool.
Yeah, just a thought.
I'm
excited about the idea of not playing into the morass of Black Friday anymore.
Yeah,
just nice. It's a nice feeling.
Absolutely clean, palate cleansing feeling. Yeah,
I agree. Right.
Like I just thought of your name, the Like Butter Days sale. I don't know.
Sorry to dismiss your name. I'll think about it.
No, it's fine.
I'll think about it.
It's gotten... I wish you could search GPT a little bit better. You can seem to do it on your phone,
I know.
But...
I know, it's weird
I went
you can
through a
search
whole thing.
No, I'm messed up. It's annoying.
Just give us a search bar.
Come on.
A listing.
Cool. Mr. 55 Minutes. Shall we wrap up the official part of this hearing?
We should.
It's coffee time.
Oh.
And no, this week in ChatGPT.
Something is really messed up. So loud.
Sounds perfect at this so end.
It's like your audio is low and I don't know. Woo! Yeah, we should head up.
Cool.
Thank
nice
you
to see
for
you.
Listening.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience for all my absences lately. I've been
I guess
a bit intermittent.
You should plan your COVID sickness a little bit better, I think.
Yes. My annual COVID. My annual
yes.
autumn COVID. Yeah.
Annual, okay.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Stay on the line.